podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yes, people, what's going on? Welcome to Stretford Paddock. This is Uncensored, and it's Mercola and Boovy today. Boovy, thank you for joining me, bro.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
I know, it's good to see you. Usually, we're in the middle of a game, kickoff. It's a bit heated, but it's good to see you, man. A little bit cooler today. Obviously, calm before the storm with the derby this weekend. How are you feeling ahead of that one? Just generally, we'll obviously get into the game later on.
Yeah, no, it's one of those where, like, obviously, City have had a bit of a rocky few weeks. Obviously, a good result in the Champions League. It was only Bruges, obviously, but a couple of poor performances in the League Cup, for example. But obviously, looking across the road and looking at you lads and thinking, I don't know what's going on at Manchester United. So if we play our way, I'm looking forward to the game, no question about it.
Does that make, you know, with these games, I know there's the old cliche, form goes out the window and that. But because of, are you looking at this like we can go and do what Liverpool did there? Or are you nervous of they're just going to perform, like they're going to perform against us? Because we've shown against City that occasionally, regardless of our form going into the game, we pull out a performance.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the season where we were Centurions, we would have won the Premier League the earliest ever. I think in English football top flight history, if we'd beaten you on the day that obviously you beat us 3-2 at the Etihad. I'm sure you remember that quite well. Obviously, Pogba had his blue hair and all that. And I thought that season you did pretty well. You got, 81 points, came second. Mourinho said it's one of his greatest achievements. I thought you were a functional side. But I thought, actually, you weren't anywhere near our level. And we were unplayable that season. I think it's the greatest single season in the history of English football, in my opinion, of how a team's played, in my opinion. Obviously, you'll talk about the treble winning side in other competitions, but ultimately, you still beat us then. You know, you beat us then. So if that Centurion side loses to an average Mourinho United side at home, then anything can happen in a derby.
Yeah, and I mean, even Ali's shown as well. Like, I know he gets criticised a lot for tactics in some games, but against City, he usually gets it right. The last one we had at Old Trafford, I think we won. And there's been a few games at the Etihad where I always feel more confident when it's at the Etihad because there's obviously expectation on City and we usually hit his on the counter. But even now we got like a completely different team. So it's like before we'd go Lingard or Bruno in the hole, Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial, you got a little bit of pace. Now it's completely different. Imagine how different this game could have been though, actually, with Cristiano Ronaldo if he was in blue. Has that crushed your mind? Like, because this game would have been, do you know how much they would have been building this game up, Ronaldo's return?
Yeah.
That'd have been mad, innit?
Do you know what? I would have loved it just to wind you up, but actually looking at it, I don't think he would have contributed enough to the team. I think Guardiola, for me, is bigger than Ronaldo. I think Ronaldo is bigger than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but I think Guardiola is bigger than Ronaldo, so I think he would have been dropped in a lot more games than he has for Ollie. I think Ollie feels
Pep's got a thing with players like that as well, isn't it? He had like with Zlatan, he doesn't like the stars, isn't it?
Yeah, Torre when he came, you know there are issues like that. I think Ronaldo would have scored a ton of goals for us. I think he would have scored more goals than he's currently got for you, and I think he's doing really well for United. But I've got people DMing me still about Grealish versus Ronaldo as if it's a factor. I think if we could have got both of them, we would have. I actually prefer Grealish.
It was Ronaldo or Kane, wasn't it?
Sorry, yeah. There's also been a few more than in terms of the money. We already spent 100 million quid on Grealish.
But surely you'd prefer Ronaldo to Kane?
No.
In terms of the winning mentality. You know what? I think Kane's an amazing striker, yeah. One of the best in the world, but he's just not a winner for me, man. Just strikes me about him. I don't even like his failed attempts to get out of Spurs. That just makes me think
he bottled that, didn't he?
You're not a winner, like that.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Yeah, 100%. I always look at City. The one thing I can always fall back on as a City fan. I know we spend a lot of money. Of course we do. Maybe the most in the world, but we buy young, exciting players that can at least progress. You know, you think of Jesus, think of Sterling, Sane, Bernardo Silva. They're all they all cost about 40 million quid each. We get that. But ultimately, we can sell them on. They can improve. They can adapt to the Guardiola system. I think a 36-year-old Ronaldo would have been a real old school kind of Tevez.
That was one of the things. Taka.
you know.
I did think that he would change his style a bit, but I also thought the amount of chances that you create, like, and it's, you know, with United, where you could argue that because we have to play and we have to sacrifice certain things, I don't think that would have been the case with City. We've seen City go down to 10 men against teams and still absolutely, you know, blast them, like, and maintain possession. So I think if any team can sacrifice having one player hanging in and around the 18-yard box and being a finisher and, you know, looking to get on the end of things, I think it's City. And I think Ronaldo would have been probably perfect. And I'm just glad that I'm not going to Old Trafford this weekend and seeing Cristiano Ronaldo come out in blue. I'm actually glad I'm also not on the kickoff this weekend, sat next to you, because if it goes anything like it could do, oh man, that would have been a dreadful place to be. In terms of, you know, one of the things I actually wanted to talk to you about was your Man City memories of United, of City United and the derby, because I don't think people quite realise how young you actually are, you know. You hang around with me and Rory and that, some old guys, and I think people think you're our age because you're actually quite young, innit? And your memories are probably...
Yeah,
so your memories are a lot different to mine.
Yeah, obviously you've got memories from the 90s when you're beating us when, you know, we're obviously at Main Road, and I'm really... I'd be lying if I can say I physically remember Main Road. I actually went to Main Road in the final season. I would have been about four. But it's all about the City of Manchester Stadium back in the day, and obviously the Commonwealth Stadium. And we, you know, we had some really impressive wins there. I think, you know, I think it was the 4-3. Sean Wright Phillips scored a banger. Obviously, I remember the derby where Peter Schmeichel, obviously, that was the same game as Goethe, obviously. But I, for me, some of the best ones were kind of when I was... early teenagers, when Sven was there for a season, obviously we beat you home and away.
Is that Ilano?
I think Ilano, Benjani got scored in both home and away. Obviously, one of those games was
the
Munich Air Disaster memorial game or whatever. But really special derbies even before the takeover. And I think actually, I always look back on it, but the 6-1 in 2011, which is obviously... literally 10 years ago, it comes to 10 years of that, it's one of the most important games maybe in the history of English football, certainly for City.
Not in the history of English football.
It's up there. I think it really is, because if you look back on it, you know, there's going to be Man United Liverpool games that are up there. You're thinking of maybe Leeds United games from the 50s.
Do you feel like that was it's
pivotal?
A turning point?
Yeah, of course. Of course it was, because I think Ferguson up to that point was untouchable. I thought he literally was untouchable. Every decision he made was perfect. And by the fourth or the fifth, and you got fans walking out the stadium, it felt like he ran out of answers. It felt like the money actually did kind of knock out Ferguson. I think Ferguson probably thought, right, I'm giving it 18 months and I'm going to retire because I can't beat these nation states.
I know it's an age thing
as well. I'm not saying City retired Ferguson. I'm not trying to say that at all. But I think he might have thought after that, hang on a second. I'm facing a state. You know, I can make Darren Fletcher a better midfielder on the training pitch, or I can play a 4-5-1 and keep it tight and get the best out of an old Scholes, for example. But it gets to the point now where I'm probably a little bit out of my depth in terms of competing, and that's why I think the season where
we won the league two years or a year later.
When you took it back, yeah, you did. The year after that, you won the league after the 6-1. So, and that is one of the most impressive Premier League wins ever, in my opinion, because it wasn't the best side. It was. You know, I thought it was a pretty poor Man United side, but to get a title win out of that plus Van Persie was very, very impressive.
Fergie was doing that towards the back end of his career. I think that's one thing United fans will agree on, is that he was working his magic with some of the squads that he had. Even some of the signings, like you look at Park G, who was a big game player, cost like £4 million.
100%.
You know, Van der Sar was amazing, cost less than two or around two, I think. Like, he was working his magic. My favourite Manchester City game has to be the 4-3 in 2009. I got some great videos from the game and pictures which I tweeted not long ago because I found them all on my old laptop. But that game, because I remember the build-up to that game, you've got Tevez, the sun was shining. We were all singing that Tevez song before the game. I was absolutely smashed. And then it was one of those games where we felt like City could beat us. You know, we just lost Ronaldo. We replaced Ronaldo with Michael Owen. Like, it wasn't a great replacement for the greatest player. And to beat City in that manner, and the way the game went, I think Bellamy was electric for City that day. Scored a great goal. But yeah, man, that's one of my favourites. In fact, that's probably my favourite ever game at Old Trafford.
Really?
In terms of like being there and enjoying it and the emotions of the game and the 90 minutes and everything.
Well, you would have loved it because you cheated to get the win. So obviously you love it.
Don't you? I mean, it's not, how do you work that one out?
Well, because you had about 15 minutes of extra time. You actually did that. Yeah, people that do that.
We're celebrating for how long at 3-3. The added time was deserved.
No, it was miles off, mate. It was at least eight or 7 minutes, way too long.
It was perfect. That's why it was so perfect, because the 3-3 happened.
You cheated.
And then the 4-3 happened. And it was just the quality of gigs with the pass. It was quality.
I can't deny that. And actually, Bellamy's goal, long range. I think it was also Bellamy's little finish, tight angle. Even Gareth Barry finished into an open net. Really nice with left foot. Barry doesn't score, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it felt a bit too early. It felt like one of those games where maybe next season Newcastle face you lot or face us, and maybe they've got Jesse Lingard and they've got a top keeper, and it's a bit too early.
What do you think about Newcastle? Do you think they can repeat what City have done?
No, I think with a fine... Look, I'm not saying Newcastle won't win anything, of course not, but look, City... You actually look back at the time, City won an FA Cup within 18 months, beating you in a semi-final of an FA Cup. Convincingly, by the way, Yaya Toure, someone that we spent 30 million quid on, put him on 200 grand a week, and he was dominating your midfield. Can Newcastle buy Yaya Toure, level quality player, for 30 million quid? Obviously not, inflation. You look at every big name at that level. Yaya Toure, if that happened, would have cost David Silva, Yaya, Aguero, Tevez, all would have cost 100 million quid each if it was today. So, and you can't spend 400. I don't care what you say about this, you know, this blank check, but you cannot spend 400, 500 million quid on that. You just can't in a window. You just cannot do it. So I don't think they're going to be able to make enough changes quick enough. I think they can win.
It's going to be a slower build, isn't it, than City and Chelsea?
It's 10, 15 years, bro. It's 10, 15 years. They need to get their academy sorted. They need to get a load of players.
I reckon they'll be in Champions League within 10, inside.
Yeah,
10.
Yeah. But
possibly five. Six.
City won a Premier League because we have two. We spent 150 million quid on Mendy, Walker. You know, we had Cancelo in there as well. Danny.
Because if you look, Chelsea will keep chopping and changing.
Yeah.
And they'll always be a Champions League team. They might have a year out, but they will pretty much always be. City will always be a Champions League team, though, even if they lose Pep, they'll buy and replace and try and get the best.
Exciting news, our friends over at Manscaped have just launched their fourth generation performance package, and that includes the Lawnmower 4.0. 4.0, that's right, the Lawnmower 4.0, which includes a 7,000 RPM motor to take care of your spuds when you need it most. Make sure you join 2 million men who trust Manscaped, and you can do that by going to manscaped.com and getting 20% off and free shipping using the code Paddock20. We've all had it where you're trying to trim downstairs, you've got a big date coming up, it's your Valentine's, it's the anniversary, you need to look spick and span down there. But what happens? You end up using your mum's hair scissors, you end up trying to do something weird, getting a blowtorch out of the shed, using an axe that your dad uses to chop wood for the fire. None of that's going to work. You're going to cut yourself, you're going to nick yourself. We've all been there, using the scissors to try and go around your balls like some sort of weird stencil. It's not going to work. You're going to nick them, and you're going to really regret ever trying to make it a DIY job. That's where Manscaped comes in. Look at this. This, quite simply put, is the greatest device in trimming your pubes that has ever existed. It's a Lawnmower 4.0. It's got a 7,000 RPM motor. And the best thing about it is the anti-nick technology. You can see that there. Anti-nick technology, right? What that means is that you're not going to catch your spuds when you're trying to clean up in your trousers. Make sure you check out Manscaped. Again, it's not just this. They've got this, the Crop Reviver. This is what you put on. You're going straight out after work. It's in your work bag. Let me just nip to the toilet. Let me just freshen up. You got this bad boy, the Crop Preserver, straight out of the shower, pop it on. Deodorant for under the arms, Crop Preserver for under the garms. You know what I mean? You know it is. And one of the best things about the Lawn Mower 4.0 is that it's waterproof. So you can do it in the shower, you can do it over the sink, you can do it at a public pool if you really want to. You might get kicked out, but you can do it there. That's the thing. Shave your pubes out in the rain if you want to. If that's what your thing is, you've got some weird fetish where you get in your truck, you drive out to a hillside, get in the flatbed, wait for it to rain, trim your pubes. This thing isn't going to electrocute you. And you're fine to do that because that's your property. Or just do it in the shower like I do. It's fantastic, easy clear up, and you don't have to worry about it breaking. And not just does that mean, yes, I can do it in the shower. It also means it's easy to clean because you get in there. Sometimes you get in there, you get your little brush, trying to do it, trying to blow on it, get your little pubes out. No one wants that. Run it under the tap. It's clean. Perfect to be stored away. So, you know what? Your mum don't find it or your missus don't find it. Or she might use it, to be honest. So, make sure you check out manscaped.com. Again, use the code PADDOCK20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you once again to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. Back to the show, lads.
I think we're one of those teams that could suffer if we don't get our decision-making right. I think mainly we will, you know, we'll be a Champions League team because we'll spend a lot of money. But if we don't get our decision-making right, we could suffer. I also think Liverpool with Klopp will be a Champions League team. But after Klopp, you know, if they don't get that decision-making right. So City-Chelsea are always guarantees. United would like to think they are, as would Liverpool. But I think Newcastle will still have chances. Tottenham, Arsenal, there's no guarantees with them. They're not going to compete in the transfer market with United, Chelsea, with City, and definitely not with Newcastle now. But I do think you're right in terms of it being more difficult to accumulate those kind of players because of the price of players now is mad. But there are going to be, there's still good signings out there. And even if you bring them to a Europa League level in the next 2 years, then someone else can bring them to the Champions League level. Yeah. So it could be 3-4 years. You never know. But they've made a shambles of their managerial appointment so far.
That's bad, isn't it? You've got to go for the highest manager that you can actually sign. Don't go for Emery. Don't make a show about it. It's a bit like how Kaká turned City down in the early days. Don't make that public information, John Terry and all that. We did a really poor job with the PR department. I think it was Gary Cook who was the chief exec who came out and said, you know, Richard Dunn isn't going to sell any t-shirts in China. He said something like that. You've got to be holistic and say, well, Richard Dunn was actually a top centre back at the club before you lot came in. So Newcastle, there's no good saying that sort of thing. You've got to go for a Sean Dyche. You know, you've got to go for that kind of level and see.
That's
if
actually a shout,
you know. 10, do you know what I mean? Something like that.
Sean Dyche. I haven't really thought about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you could tempt him away with money. But then it's always the style of play thing, which I think is a little bit unfair because what else can you do at Burnley? Do you know what I mean?
They're not that bad, but you know, for a club like that, they shouldn't be in the Premier League as a club. No, you know, no disrespect, but they're not a Premier League club. They've done well to advance their training ground. I went out there a few years back, and it's an amazing training ground for what it is. But they're not a Premier League. Yeah, they're not a Premier League club, are they?
Burnley. Yeah, man. What are you thinking of the Champions League this week?
Oh, you guys were poor. So poor. It's actually, I'm not even trying to wind you up.
I can't even argue with you.
But the issue with Atalanta is we played them, I think it was last season or the season before. And they're such like a football hipster club. Like they almost want to knock it around and look good. And then
there might be a Leeds.
They don't take their chances. It's equally as frustrating from Atalanta because I think they face a really weak United side. Varane got injured. I just don't understand how they didn't beat you at Old Trafford as well, to be honest. And ultimately, I'm glad that you did get a point because it covers over the cracks and every point gained is maybe a month earned for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You know, I'd love to stay for 10 years, mate.
I disagree. I think if we were to get battered against City, it could be curtains for him. That's the kind of position he's in at the moment. I think he's teetering on the edge still. The only benefit he had was, I think Conte is a great coach, but I don't think he's a great coach for Man United. And with the board that we have and all those kind of things, I don't think it would have been a great fit in the.
But I think you're. I always try and bring this up to you, and it does definitely come across as me being a bit annoying, trying to wind you up. I get that because it's match day. Maybe we're talking about United when they're losing live, but obviously now we're not talking about a game in particular. It's a Thursday, but I think your club is way worse than that. I think you're actually looking at it with rose tinted spectacles, as if this is Ferguson coming into the what was it, Ron Atkinson era or whatever, as if you've got more time than you've got. You don't have that much time. Conte could have come in 18 months. It doesn't matter. There is no style.
I know football's changed, and I'm also not oblivious to the mistakes that Ali has made. I think some people in the summer, for example, went too far with Ali. And that's when I start defending him, because I think as a United fan, you can criticise Ali fairly, and then you get people going too far, and then you find yourself starting to defend him. And it's like, there's a middle ground here, do you know what I mean? But in terms of... In terms of that thing, in terms of short-term managers, I know Manchester United aren't going to get a manager for 20 years anymore. Probably not even for 5 years.
I'd argue that 2 years. You're not going to get that. Is better than 5 years with.
But you know why 2 years with Conte wouldn't have worked for Man United, and it would have ended badly very quickly. One, the board wouldn't have worked with him in the long run, and whatever you think of, you know, that's not me defending the board or whatever. Yeah. But it wouldn't have worked. So Conte would have lost his head, and he would have been bald by the end of it, and his wig would have been gone. And then you also look at, when you look at the players that Man United have invested in heavily and some of our best talents, I would fear for them in a Conte system.
Don't you fear
and
for I know them you, now? Don't you fear I, for them? What's happening?
But I'm not saying that everything's rosy right now.
I'm saying,
you know, if things don't improve, shit needs to change. But I don't think Conte was the particular answer, because if you then bring him in for 2 years, let's say, I think Sancho suffers. I think Bruno maybe suffers. I think Greenwood maybe suffers. And then what? So you've risked, for Greenwood and all these players, you've risked that for what? You know what
maybe,
I mean? For 2 years.
Come at it, I think your identity about United is so entrenched with winning in a certain way, because obviously you've got that
it's
heritage
not a certain
since
way,
you were a kid.
But just look at the squad we've got.
Yeah, but all I'm saying, it's a bit like in blackjack, right? You get a 3 in blackjack. You're obviously going to hit again to get close to 21. So maybe Solskjaer's a 4, right? And then you hit, obviously you're going to hit again. Maybe Conte's only an 8. You still hit again. You're saying about Sancho. Sancho's contributed nothing. As an England fan, I'm like, he's actually gone backwards. Pogba's gone backwards.
To be fair, England didn't play him either. They're a joke.
Well, there's a reason.
But I disagree with the decision. I think he should be
winning
the team.
Something is more. I agree with you. Maybe Conte doesn't develop Rashford into this player that he needs to be, or whoever. I completely agree with you. But he still won a Premier League, a very impressive, very, very impressive.
I'm not denying that.
With Chelsea, and that's ownership. Inter Milan's ownership isn't great. You know, he had to buy a few older players that just got him the job. Winning a league for United is more important than this kind of style that you put on everything. You know, what is the United way? I don't think you played good football for a very long time these days. I think if I was a United fan, I don't want you to win anything, you know that, but I'd rather just win. You don't win.
I'm not saying everything's right now, but I'm just saying the reasons why Conte didn't work. And why I don't think Ali got sacked yet was because Conte was the only. I think if, let's say, Ten Hag, Poch, Tuchel, someone like that's available, I reckon Ali would have got sacked the day after we lost against Liverpool 5-0. I think the only reason it didn't was because Conte was the only one available.
Only one, that's true.
And then you see Conte go to Spurs. Why did Conte go to Spurs in the middle of a season? Because United didn't want him. I genuinely think if United showed any interest in Conte, he waits it out for 2-3 weeks to the international break maybe. And I also think Spurs probably thought that same thing could happen and kind of rushed it with their... But I'm definitely not using that as a defense of Ali. I just don't think Conte would have worked. But I do think Ali needs to get it right quickly. But this is one of those games where he can win it. But then we got Watford coming up soon. Probably go and lose there somehow.
No, look, I, the thing is that I'm lucky to say as a City fan, I've not been able to say for, you know, before the previous 10 years, I think we've got the balls in our court. We can treat this game however we want. Obviously, I want us to go aggressive. I think we can beat you 4-5, 6-0 if we turn it on.
If we have a bad day, you can.
Yeah, and you've had a bad...
Especially without Varane.
You've had a bad 5 years, to be honest. So I think
we've kept two clean sheets this season. Varane's played in both.
Yeah, and do you know what? I don't even think... I think Varane hasn't been even the answer to a level. I don't think he's been a bad player for you so far. I think, but he's not even the answer. You can't rely on the whole defense on one guy being injured.
No. I agree with that point. You can't rely on one. And I think actually our issues in defense are more systemic than down to one individual. But I actually think how good he is.
Oh yeah, he's a factor.
He trumps every single defender we've got. But I also think Lindelof being potentially out, he's better than Maguire in my opinion. That's a miss.
Really?
Like,
wow.
In my opinion. Well, definitely by form. Maybe it's an argument in terms of quality and all
Maguire
that.
Maguire looks injured to me. He's carrying something, but
then you shouldn't be playing. And then that's a thing that that you can point at Ollie, because Varane maybe come back from injury. He's played 2 games in 4 days. He gets another injury. You got Maguire rushed back against Leicester. Now he's injured, or like, you know, you're asking yourself what the hell is going on with him again. So, you know,
it's tough. I think your issue, and this goes back to an issue that you can't see through the trees with Solskjaer, is that sides win Premier Leagues with really bad injury records and clunky little. You look at City winning getting 100 points in the season with Fabian Delph at left back. There's a narrative with United that you need your best 11.
Fit and fire
to even get results. And as soon as Varane's out, it feels like the whole thing.
I think
drops,
that's wrong, because we've got. If anyone thinks that, we've got a great squad. In my opinion, the only position we're lacking in is that holding midfield position. And like again, I say, it comes down to getting the best out of this team. And I think there was a period, maybe around COVID, post COVID, where everyone was playing well. Everyone knew what they was doing. You could see a very good Man United side, and we had something to work with. At the moment, it's disjointed. You mentioned Jadon Sancho earlier. He needs to be in United's team. Like, we were crying out for a winger. Now we've got one. We don't use him. Like, he needs to be in a team. He needs to be in a team. I reckon we'll go with a back three, though, against you lot. If you had to predict your 11, what do you think it will be at the weekend?
I think it's going to be, obviously, Edison, Walker, Cancelo. Cancelo, by the way, is... Oh, unbelievable at the moment. I mean, the way
scored
he played last
day,
night. Yeah, he's scary good. I think it'll be Stones and Diaz. I don't think Stones picked up a knock. Obviously, Laporte will be out. And then, look, I think Rodri, Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, Foden, Grealish, and Mahrez. I think that is probably our best lineup, which doesn't feature De Bruyne at the moment, which is scary to say.
Is he injured?
He should be fit for the game, but... For me, he weirdly doesn't get in ahead of Gundogan or Bernardo. Maybe he's playing
with
a false nine.
What I told you about Grealish.
He played a ball yesterday that is actually, people are saying he doesn't carry the ball much anymore for City, and that's for obvious reasons because the way we play. But his range of passing is scary good. He's one of the most naturally gifted players I've ever seen in my life, to be honest.
No, he's quality. I love.
And there's a 3 month window. He's improved in three. I'm not just saying that. He's actually improved in 3 months. Against Spurs, he looked really poor. Against Spurs, he looks a little bit out of his depth. Not poor, maybe a bit extreme, but he looks a little bit out of his depth, timing wise, when to deliver the ball. But now he looks scary. How much I think he's improved already under Guardiola, and that's another aspect to talking about managers is You buy these 100 million quid assets, and they actually get appreciation on those assets if they're managed by someone day to day as good as Guardiola.
You didn't pick a striker there. You didn't pick Jesus, did you? Gabriel Jesus.
No, he's been playing on the right for us. He missed a couple of chances yesterday.
That worries me. Because if you're not playing a striker, it's hard. Like Maguire likes when he's got a striker in front of him. You're my man. I'll deal with you. And I think when you get Maguire wandering maybe or walking forward into spaces, which will happen if you haven't got an out-and-out nine, the gaps are going to...
If you say that, he was getting turned by Zapata against Atalanta. He got bullied. He got gimped by the guy. Do you know what I mean? Let's be completely real. He got absolutely bullied by Zapata as well. He's bang average.
You know when Maguire's good, he looks
world-class.
When is
he good? Tell me. When is he?
Which is a third of the time. And when he looks bad, he looks atrocious.
Really
like it's mental. I'm dreading asking you this with your smug face. what's your score prediction?
If we play our way, it's gonna be 4-0. 4-0.
Bloody hell. Now I reckon, you know what, I got a weird feeling we're gonna win. And I'm gonna wish I was sat next to you on the kickoff. although sitting in Old Trafford in the Stretford End is not a bad alternative, but it's not bad, you know what I mean. I got a feeling we're going to win.
I don't know. Like, if we lose, it's right up there with some of the most embarrassing derby losses ever, because you're so poor.
But the quality of our 11, like worst United squads have beaten better City teams. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but with better managers, and it shows you how important Ferguson was, for example. Well, Ollie's
record against Pep is very good. We could all argue everything else, but his record against Pep is very good.
Yeah, but it's not. But is it though?
Because it is. Yeah.
When the League Cup,
Pep beat him at the Etihad?
But here's the thing: derbies, right? Especially for two clubs at the top of the Premier League table in the last 5-10 years, and in League Cup semi-finals and in FA Cup semi-finals, none of those derby wins have meant anything. They've meant nothing.
Hmm.
You beat us 3-2. Pogba's celebrating. Chris Smalling's going. Larry.
You're looking at little. We'll have your fucking tables.
You beat us 3-2, and then it's like that was to stop us getting 103
points.
Yeah,
but you had to take your fireworks down and that. So that was funny.
Yeah, but we were going to get little old City. We're going to get 103 points that season if it wasn't for you.
That was funny.
That's the level we're at. It wasn't funny. It was funny though. That's the level that we're at, and that I'm just trying to find the camera. There we go. That's where we are. And you're getting banged by at a village in Italy, bro, and a village in Spain.
Wow, we took 4 points off them. 4 points off them.
Mate, they're all over you as well. You know that.
Shh. It's finished now. You got to go back to work. Booby, thank you for joining me.
Appreciate it.
Make sure you subscribe to Booby's channel. Link's in the description below. He'll have reaction to the game. And he'll be reacting to United beating City on the weekend. So make sure you go and watch that. Enjoy the kickoff without me. And I'll see you soon, bro.
See you, man. Thank you. Sports Social Podcast Network.